This episode is sponsored by ABI Interiors, an Australian-designed fixtures supplier specialising in high-quality kitchen and bathroom products for the modern home. ABI Interiors will turn your dream home into reality with a timeless product range that includes stylish tapware, basins, sinks, baths and showers in up to 7 signature finishes. You can visit the ABI Interior Showroom at Design Centre Chelsea Harbour or shop online at abiinteriors.co.uk.
You can look at something in one mood of the day, as you do in your home, and then you go back and look at it a little bit later in the day and things can change a little bit, your perspective of them. And it's, I think with interiors, it's incredibly important to see them because they are static within your home. You have the change of light and day, which makes rooms change their atmosphere, but you're essentially, you know, you're living with it. So you kind of need to see it and get that sense. And that was really important for me.
Welcome to a new series of House Guest with me, Carol Annett, interiors editor of Country and Townhouse magazine. Giles Deacon is the go-to couturier for a clutch of celebrities, including Kylie Minogue and Sarah Jessica Parker. For his latest project, he's dipping his toe into the world of interiors. I caught up with him at the Sanderson Showroom at Chelsea Harbour. My house guest today is British couture designer and illustrator Giles Deacon, known for deftly mixing fashion, fine art and theatre. We meet in the Sanderson Showroom at Design Centre Chelsea Harbour to chat about his new collaboration with the iconic fabrics and furniture brand. Giles, welcome. Thank you very much for your time.
No, my pleasure. Very kind of you. Lovely to be here today.
So tell us about this fabulous collection with Sanderson and how it came about.
Well, I'd been a long time hoping to do a full textiles and wall coverings collection. It was a very natural place for me to go to, as all throughout my own design practice, we've always designed our own fabrics in-house. So I've worked with very specific, very great makers and within the UK and abroad. And it felt like a very natural place to move to. And I knew Lisa well from previous existences. And we met up for a coffee and had a chat about coming up to see the archive up in Denham. And went up to see that and was kind of blown away by its breadth and rarities and all sorts of special beauties hidden away in there. And she gave me a very open brief, in fact, as to work out where within the group would be a nice place to land. And it was very clear to me from that very first meeting that one I wanted to land in and go on to was Sanderson. So,
and just explain who Lisa is.
Lisa Montague, the CEO.
And do you think, when it comes to interiors, do you have to put a different head on? Do you have to think in a different way?
Well, to an extent, yes. I mean, when we started the collection, we had a very idea of that we wanted it to be a, I say we, this was a conversation between Lisa Montague, Claire Vallis and the Sanderson design team. We wanted it to be a collection that was absolutely complementary to Sanderson and its existing world. It wasn't about bringing a whole different arm to it. It was something that would sit alongside it very comfortably, but had my unique spin and take on certain designs from the archive to bring some new iterations and to bring some worlds of mine that I wanted to redevelop and propose in new ways. So initially it was a visit to my studio to go through all of my archive and to see which qualities we wanted to bring, which would work. And then we had the ones from I'd seen from the archive up in Denham. And then we got everything in the showroom, design studio, and had a great big kind of show and tell. And, you know, you have nice organised things like range plans and critical paths and all of those things that make things work, which I love working to those because it's that allows you to be, when that's so organised, it allows you to be as creative as possible. And I guess to answer your question, within the physicality of the designing, in one sense, it is very much the same. You know, you're looking for specialist, beautiful qualities that will be transportative for people, delights to put in their homes as opposed to delights to wear. But I think one of the really interesting things for me was working with the design team to see how they put collections together and where you have, say, 4 different colourways of a design to make them each complementary, but each do a different job. And then to see how all of those colours work within a full collection of 25 articles and in 25 wallpapers and 25, you know, fabrics is pretty large. And that was a real enjoyable factor for me. That was great.
And are they all designed to work together, or are they designed to hit different sort of moods?
Well, I guess a mixture of the two. I mean, we designed it not in a traditional way of this should precisely go with this and this is the trim with this. It wasn't done that way. But they all had to kind of complement each other and sit within a world of that was what I wanted. And I come from a background of practice where I very much want the visual to be very conversational, to be based in beauty, but also to be kind of classicism recontextualized also. So all of those elements brought together to bring the collection. And it was from a tone perspective, as in not so much color tone, but as in the creative direction tone. It was something very important for me that they did all just sit and complement. And I like the fact that things aren't so matchy-matchy. You know, and I like the fact that you go from one room to another and there is a common thread, of course, but they are things that just have that different sense of personality about them.
I think when I first laid eyes on it, there is a wow factor. I mean, the theatricality is just beautiful. You have these sweeping curtains and this beautiful trompe l'oeil. I think it's Pygmalion.
It is indeed, yes. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the theatricality of things and that kind of grand scale artwork and translates back to my practice of, I guess, of sort of grand scale glamour as well in that world. And I like things to have that sense of wow. But the important thing to point out is that even though they have this kind of grand scale sweeping, they are not only for grand scale properties. It's interesting to see it in the showroom here and the Pygmalion on this wall and then over on a very much kind of a reduced scale wall. It looks equally powerful and kind of intriguing. And I think there's something very exciting about putting these in smaller spaces as well as grand scale ones.
So you've said of the collection that it delights in the fantastical and theatrical, yet always tethered to a strong sense of Britishness.
Exactly. Yes, indeed. I mean, I think that's, a continuation of my own practice as well. It's very much what I do and what I'm about. It's very important to bring that sense of craftsmanship and, you know, that sort of playfulness, but again, keeping it within a very kind of classical context, but bringing surprising elements and very pleasing but sometimes surprising colour combinations, but not to the point of being, this wasn't an exercise in clash. It wasn't to be just bold for bold's sake. Things had to have a sense of purpose, and to be tethered in a sense of beauty and purpose, I think, was something I very much wanted.
One of the designs, I'm not sure of the name, but it's little bird's eggs.
Yeah, the Ulogy Portal. Yeah, which is...
That has quite a sweet story behind it. Can you
tell
indeed,
us about that? I mean, my father got a very small collection of eggs and books from a collector in Chicago. And in 2016, working on a piece for a client, proposed this piece and used some of the egg illustrations and redrew quite a few of them as well and played with the scale and made this rather beautiful dress, which ended up in the Natural History Museum in the Fashioning Nature exhibition, and then which went on tour to China and Australia and Canada and eventually returned about 4 years later. And he's in the studio here in London. And it's a really beautiful piece, I think, that. And there's something very ordered about those kind of drawers of collections that I find fascinating, and was very lucky enough to see some private collections from the Victorian era in a friend of a friend's families when I was quite young, and they made quite a lasting impact on me. The kind of reveal of those drawers, I still find the lifting of those sort of felt blankets is kind of fascinating to me.
And there's such a delicate beauty to the actual fabric itself.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and the wallpaper that we proposed, Rebecca, who is one of the designers on the Sanderson team, came up with a very kind of divine finish, which the eggs are then printed onto, which initially I was a little bit reticent about, but on seeing the finished thing, it looks absolutely exquisite and really brings another dimension to it. It has a kind of sort of metallic eggshell sheen, which doesn't give it what the justice that it is, but it's really beautiful. You know, and again, I think the thing that's so exciting to work with team and with Sanderson is that the time frame to develop everything was incredibly luxurious by any day's standards.
So as a couture designer whose clients are always clamoring for their dress.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, we're used to being able to work within, you know, kind of having nice time frames to work on things, not having to rush things. And this certainly wasn't rushed. You know, we gave ourselves a pretty much a two-year deadline of critical path to work towards, which was great because to develop, to see, to reprint, look at scale, remove certain elements. And then I'm a big believer in having time away from designs to then go back and look at them. I'm not talking months, but, you know, a few days, you know, kind of breathing space, and to see them on walls and the Sanderson Design Showroom, to see them, you know, just how they, you know, you can look at something in one mood of a day, as you do in your home, and then you go back and look at it a little bit later in the day, and things can change a little bit, your perspective of them. And it's, I think with interiors, it's incredibly important to see them because they are static within your home. You have the change of light and day, which makes rooms change their atmosphere, but you're essentially, you know, you're living with it. So you kind of need to see it and get that sense. And that was really important for me once we kind of, that was new to me as such, probably less so the design team, but it was something that I really enjoyed and then got really into that idea.
And the stripe, tell us about the stripe. And were you determined to have a stripe in there?
Well, the Peregrine stripe goes back to about 20 years old. I designed it in 2004 I wanted a signature stripe that would be recognisable but have multi-uses. We could print it, we could jacquard it. And we initially did it as a jacquard with Stephen Walters, and we still make it for clients now. And it's a real favourite. It's got a serrated kind of sawtooth design, and it has a slight sort of subversive thing to it that it's just not a regular stripe, but it's also very classic, which it will again go back to those combinations that I so enjoy. And I was lucky enough to be part of an exhibition of Stephen Jones's down at the Brighton Pavilions back in 2019, I think it was now. And on the install down there, I had a good look around with one of the curators, and they've got the most extraordinary archive of the Regency fabric colourways, as one would hope they would. And I was kind of blown away by it. I thought at the time that would be a great thing to bring to the party here. So we renamed it Regency of Peregrine and have chosen the most exquisite combination of colours of, you know, kind of madders and stones and, you know, kind of beautiful reds, and it's just really, really beautiful. And we've made a coat for a client already, and as you can see on some of these chair coverings, it's got multi-uses in many ways, and I think it's a piece that will hopefully just run, and I look forward to adding more colourways.
Absolutely. And is it Cupid's bow, the way
it is indeed what you're sat on today? Yes.
You've incorporated beautiful bows and butterflies and roses.
Yeah,
but this has your G in it as well,
a signature and all sorts of hidden away in there. Yeah, it's an absolute classic Sanderson, and I think that was one of the joy of the combination designs as such. This was originally Etchings and Roses, and it's been on the go since the 1870s, I think. And we wanted to add some new elements to it, and I'd done some ink drawings of these bows, which we had about five different iterations of, and we very nicely placed them in there. And I think one of the things to point out within all of the designs was that we wanted them to be very much have a sense that with them all, going back to the conversation about them all from the same collection, that they didn't look like they'd been computer manipulated. That was something I absolutely didn't want. So we had the whole artwork redrawn, which was really great. So some very skilled artists who professionally do this world come in and redraw. So it's a new iteration of a classic Sanderson quality, and it works fabulously. And I've seen it on wallpapers, and I particularly love it in this linen, and it's just looks so charming. And as you say, there's some very kind of ink scroll signatures and some other little elements in there that just have those little touches of personality in there.
Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful. You've also used medieval influences, Greek mythology. Are those the things that interest you when you're relaxing?
Relaxing in Greek mythology, I guess, to a certain degree, yes. I adore history and have always been very historical in my research. And if it's not necessarily something that I take so literally, but over all my design time, I've always kind of had influences within all sorts of worlds that are historical. And there's something very interesting to me about the conversation that William Morris and the Pre-Raphaelites had within their interest of medieval art and philosophy. And that kind of brought me into the world of sort of those kind of medieval unicorns and tapestries as well. And the techniques of those was always really interesting to me. So then bring it all together and put it through the mixer and it comes out in a very kind of hopefully modern feeling. It's not a literal interpretation, but they bring a sense of again, that sense of theatre and playfulness. And it's something that I think from that fantastical way of being something that's quite transportative. I love the idea of you being sat, you know, in an armchair, surrounded by these wallpapers and fabrics, and you can kind of read or, you know, look around and get a sense of what it is and have a think about it and imagine situations and scenarios and let your mind run. And, you know, which I think is the wonderful thing about the sanctuaries of homes and decorating, is to create these fabulous cocoons of beauty away from the outside world, to put it politely. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's what I enjoy immensely about it. So, you know.
And I think there's something very exciting about a couture designer moving into the arena of interiors.
Yeah.
When you started out, I understand you self-funded your ready-to-wear when you first launched. Was
absolutely,
it
2004? Yeah. For 2004, yeah, no, it was very much a self-funded and always has been. The first collection of which the Peregrine stripe was included, we had at the Chelsea Royal Hospital. Did the show there. I was lucky enough to know the major Corrigan, who was head of it, all of it, was a friend's father. And we got access to it, and they'd never done anything like that before.
I'm so sure
it's,
they
you know, it's kind of wonderful. So again, that brings that sense of history and storytelling into it all, which is always very important within all my work, that sense of storytelling and, you know, the kind of playful way of picking those elements, but then, you know, tethering them still within these incredibly beautiful residences like the Chelsea Royal Hospital, with this slightly peculiar thing going on, which was really fascinating to do, because all of the army down there and all of the pensioners, they all, you know, because of all the ceremonial work that they've done over the years, they all love fashion.
Oh, really?
And yeah, they all love the theatre and pantomime of it and the dressing up and hats with feathers. When you think about it, it makes sense.
Yeah,
but they absolutely.
Absolutely
adore it. So that was quite a fun eye-opener.
Ah, oh, brilliant. And do you have a favourite amongst the collection? I know
Golly,
that's a
I mean,
horrible,
I've been asked this already,
question.
And I guess the polite question is, answer, beg your pardon, is they change, you know. I mean, there's the Lakeland Parody is a real favourite of mine. I absolutely adore it, which we have in the entrance here, which is a floral, again, a very early archive Sanderson piece, which we played with scale, we reduced a couple of the elements and played with the colour balances and proportions, and it's quintessentially Sanderson, which is what I love about it. And it's one that you can just sort of go back to. And the interesting thing about going through the archive is that it has a lot of different lives. So you can see the 50s one, the 60s one, and they're quite subtly different. And to bring a story to its evolution is a real joy.
Do you draw yourself?
I do indeed, yes. Yeah, absolutely. I draw pretty much every day. In various worlds, from designs to sketches to relevant things, irrelevant things, and which become relevant. So keep multiple sketchbooks, scales, all sorts of ink drawings, pencil drawings, you know, iPads. I've done quite a lot of iPad illustration and work for Apple, for instance, going into Apple stores and doing seminars with them, and do life drawing workshops as well, which is a really good, interesting, fun thing to do.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, kind of all and do... charity for a charity called Hospital Rooms. I do drawing workshops which go directly into secure units within the mental health institutes within the UK. So there's all sorts of good things you can do with drawing.
And did you always have your eye on interiors? I mean, obviously you have launched yourself in fashion. That was kind of where your heart was. But did you always kind of think that the interiors would come?
I mean, yeah, it was nothing so calculated in a, you know, in a stage as such. But it was something which I as I said earlier, something that I knew would work and I would enjoy. And over the years, I've made furniture in fabrics that we've designed for the collection. So, you know, we've made cushions and had sofas covered and all that kind of thing. So, you know, it's absolutely something that I'd considered and wanted to work towards. But as ever, it's finding the right partners at the right time. And it was very important for me to work with a company that has the heritage and the and the skills that Sanson has to complement the worlds that I want to bring and things I would like to make and design. So those were all, you know, and to do it on a scale of which was very important. It was something that is hopefully going to be here for quite some time.
And has Sanderson been working hard?
We work at each other hard, you know. It's been a brilliant, you know, 2-year experience, and to bring it all to life and to market is really, you know, really excellent. And it's great to have such an, you know, an organised and well versed and open team on every level, through from design to the PR and then all of the marketing. And, you know, it's been a really solid, wonderful way to work. And we had 2 very successful launches. We did have one with World of Interiors dinner and a big lunch at the Sessions Arts Club, which was exquisite, and all just, you know, kind of worked very nicely, and with really good people coming through and great response. And, you know, we're off to America in April for Los Angeles, Houston, and then New York. And then sort of plans potentially for Palm Beach. I've got lots of clients on the East Coast and West Coast of America, so who will mix very nicely. And then we're off to Japan in the autumn. So it's great to get that kind of global scale of visibility going, and to give it the potential it deserves.
Exactly, yeah. Absolutely. And I have this lovely image in my head of you sort of as a graying elderly gentleman. going into the Sanderson archive in sort of 30 years' time and seeing your beautiful designs there, kind of for posterity.
Well, I mean,
that's pretty exciting.
Oh, yeah. Draw it for me. Draw that image. it's great that these pieces will be kept within that very organised archive, which is all moving to Voysey House soon in Chiswick. So that'll be very exciting for it to be based there. And it's great to be part of that ongoing story of such an iconic brand as Sanderson. You know, and it's you know, the Britishness of it is obviously works very successfully with my own world, hence why I think it just sort of works as well as it does. You know, I can say quite modestly, I think.
I 100%, and I think it was brilliant of them to, you know, whoever came up with the idea or the serendipity, but it feels like a sort of
meant to be. I think it was. Yeah, you know, it's one of those, you know, kind of old friend relationships, and time comes around, as you say, and it just sort of feels right, and instinctively you kind of know that these things are going to work, which is the best way to start them, to be honest. You know, you kind of start it with an open idea and go, right, what should we do? You know, and it's you kind of trust each other's worlds, and then you can go there. You know, and that's what makes things really, really special, rather than just producing product.
Yeah.
You know, you need that magic in there.
You do.
Yeah, totally.
And it is magical. Giles, thank you very, very much for your time.
No, my pleasure. Lovely to talk to you.
Thank you for joining me today. You can hear more House Guest on British Airways In-Flight Entertainment in the audio section, along with our sister podcast, Breakout Culture, with Lord Ed Vasey and Charlotte Metcalf. You can follow me on Instagram at Carol W. Annett.